3. Shukrushus tam apashyanta krishna arameti kopaka bhagavans tad upashrutya pitarang purunahritam tad antikam gato rajan swanam abhaya do vibhu shukrushustam upashyanta krishna rameti gopaka bhagavans tad upasrutya pitarang varunaritam tad antikam gato rajan swanam abhayadho vibhu shukrushustam upashyanta krishna rameti gopaka bhagavans tad upasrutya pitarang varunaritam tad antikam gato rajan swanam abhayadho vibhu. Shukrushustam upashyanta krishna rameti gopaka bhagavan stak upashrutya pitaram varunaritam tat antikam gato rajam swanam abhayadho vibhu. Shustam upasyanta krishna rameti gopaka bhavanstat upasrutya pitaram purunaritam Yeah, why not? Chukrushuhu. They called out loudly. Tum him. Nanda. Upashantaha. Not seeing. Krishna. O Krishna. Rama. O Rama. Iti. Thus. Gopaka. The coward men. Bhagawan. The Supreme Lord Krishna. Tat. That. Upashrutya. Hearing. Pitaram. His father. Varuna. By Varuna. Ahritam. Taken away. Tat. Of Varuna. Andikam. To the presence. Gataha. Went. Rajan. My dear King Parikshit. Swanam. Of his own devotees. Abhaya. Of fearlessness. Daha. The giver. Vibhu. The Almighty Lord. In translation, O King, not seeing Nanda Maharaj, the coward men loudly cried out, O Krishna, O Rama! Lord Krishna heard their cries and understood that his father had been captured by Varuna. Therefore, the Almighty Lord, who makes his devotees fearless, went to the court of Varuna Dev. Répétez, s'il vous plaît. O King, not seeing Nanda Maharaj, the coward men loudly cried out, O Krishna, O Rama. Lord Krishna heard their cries and understood that his father had been captured by Varuna. Therefore, the Almighty Lord, who makes his devotees fearless, went to the court of Varunadev. And purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Srila Prabhupada ki. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that when Nanda Maharaj went to bathe in the river, he was accompanied by several coward men. When Nanda did not come out of the water, they began to cry out. And Lord Krishna immediately came there. Understanding the situation, Sri Krishna entered the water and went to the court of the demigod Varuna, determined to free his father and the other coward men from fear of a mere demigod. Cry out. Got it on cue. Okay, Shukadeva Goswami is speaking to King Parikshit about the beautiful pastimes of Lord Krishna and his associates, namely Nanda, Yashoda, and in particular it's the coward men. They get a chance here. Nanda Maharaj is, you can say, the epitome of Vatsalya Rasa, as well as Yashoda. They're the foster parents of Krishna. But they have the very great pleasure and privilege to show parental affection. Whereas the, what we call biological, I don't know if biological is the right word, but it would be a little hard to say that one. But I mean, Vasudeva and Devaki didn't have that great honor. They went through parental feelings, no doubt. And it was all very much in separation, which is, I guess, what parents do go through. How's my kid doing in school today? Is he in trouble or not, et cetera, like that. Things like that. It's just natural. It's the way it is. So, being the month of Kartik, there's been a lot of concentration on the pastimes of Damodar, Krishna, who is a little bit of a prankster, And he does make that very clear in the Bhagavad Gita. I'm a bit of a hoax, you know. I can outsmart anybody. That's one of his statements in the Bhagavad Gita. So it started off very early in his period as a child to do naughty things, to be a bit of a menace. And so he did that with his mother. And ultimately, however, he becomes, in the pastimes of his being naughty, he ends up being controlled by his devotees. In fact, Yashoda means Yesha, refers to fame, and because this is one of Krishna's attributes, by the way. He has several attributes, and the fact that he's famous is, you know, it's one of the realities of Krishna. And so the second part of the word from Yashoda, da, refers to give. So through the pastime of Yashoda's chastising Krishna, she made Krishna more famous through the whole enactment of her chastising him, his, you know, spilling milk and, or let's say, you know, breaking pots and stealing and all these things. And because of the collective, let's say, let's call it, I also don't want to say the word nonsense. That would also not be right. The collective antics of Krishna, Mother Yashoda came as the chastiser, the chastising rod towards the Lord. And Krishna eventually became, let's say, taken by her love. He saw the sweat, he saw the loosening of the clothes, he saw her, you know, perspiring and just panting and just working very hard, getting that extra rope in there. And as a result of all of this, Krishna was just, she really, really does care for me. And they're, okay, I'll let her have her way. And so in this way, Krishna is controlled by his devotees, Hare Krishna. And Rupa Goswami's text, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and Srila Prabhupada's, you know, further elaboration through the Nectar of Devotion, we understand this is one of the qualities of Krishna acting, just serving Krishna in Krishna consciousness. Krishna is actually attracted by devotional service. Indeed, he's conquered by it. He likes when people serve him. Okay, that might also not sound right. But there is an exchange, and he loves to reciprocate. He loves to throw it back. That's like a game. That's like, I think for a lot of people, their highest ecstasy in their life is kicking a ball around them. You know, going from this, or throwing a frisbee, back up, ping pong, whatever it is. And in the case of Krishna Leela, it's pretty much the same thing. You know, Krishna is giving out his love, and the devotee is just picking it up and throwing it back, and just going back and forth like that. It's kind of a nice concept. That's what's actually going on. So here in this case of Nanda Maharaj, Nanda Maharaj is... along with the men, they did a lot of things together. There was one particular instance where they went to worship the goddess, and Nanda Maharaj was again into one of those kind of like a distressed situation. He became sort of a desperado. A big snake came and started to swallow him, and Krishna came and put his lotus foot on there, and that was the end of that snake, and then Nanda was freed. And so there's another time when people were screaming, you know, for assistance, for help. And there was loud chanting. There was a loud call for Krishna, meaning people were very much in distress. Nanda's in danger. Nanda's the leader. Nanda is, he's our guide. And so when he went into the water for a bath, and apparently it was done at maybe not the best time, there was some technical difficulties. And so going into the water, not coming out, it kind of, everybody freaked out. It was about 8 years ago at Gaur Purnima time, when many people, pilgrims, come to visit our, you know, our yatra in Mayapur. And there was one Bengali family that came. They had one son. And he went to bathe in the Ganges, and he never came out. And, you know, there's lots of stories like that of devotees. When something goes in the water and doesn't come out again, It really is incredibly unnerving, you can imagine. And I also had the opportunity to meet this one boy, perhaps somebody here can clarify. He was a young grihasta, and he lost his wife and child to the flood. He was related to Srila Prabhupada. Sujitendra, who's speaking? Okay, thank you, sir. You know everything. And for, I'm sure some of you have met him. He was not in good shape after that incident when his wife and child baby were taken by Mother Ganga. And so, you know, you can imagine what the kind of nature of these things are, that it's human nature to be a little bit concerned when, you know, someone goes in the water and doesn't come out. Because after all, we're not like water creatures. You know? We like to make contact with water, but we don't live in the water. So anything can happen down there, down below, anything at all. In fact, I was informed by the lady sitting next to me in the plane. So, oh, there's like hundreds and hundreds of pythons in Florida. I says, really? I thought it was like a alligator land. I said, well, there's been people with irresponsible pet owners have left their pythons. I mean, you know the story. I don't have to tell you. If you want to hear about polar bears, I can tell you stories that you would never. You've got your own stories. I understand one female python lays, you know, 100, 200 eggs, and it's just the place is overrun by pythons. So, Hare Krishna, watch out. I think it's really significant. There's a few significant words, and Prabhupada always does that with the verse, any verse. And, O Krishna, O Rama. When I first read this, I was thinking, oh, that's where they got the term, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna. You've heard the term, you people say that. And there was a famous film that came out in the months, right? Because being in Toronto, we have such a nice Rathayatra, and anywhere I go in that area, you know, walking, people kind of know us for the Rathayatra festival. That might be the only event they go to. And if they see me at a mall or somewhere in the neighborhood, they go, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Rathayatra, Central Island. So that's what they know us for. So there should be no doubt that Krishna and Rama are the same, in pretty much in the same breath. These Brijavasis, the coward men, the Gopikas, are calling on Krishna to come and help. And this is like a common, I mean, it was a daily affair. There was, Prabhupada actually explains, almost every day there was a new asura coming in, into the scene. And because that was the situation, the coward villagers, they were living in some fear. As you know, Vasudev, he took baby Krishna over the Yamuna and then left him to Yashoda's side, and that was in Gokula. What happened was, because of the recurring demons' visitations by unwanted, undesirable characters, there had to be constantly moving. The coward people had to be moving. In the writings of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, because he's also quoted here, the coward people, villagers, they moved at least five times until Krishna went to Mathura. You know? So from first it was Gokula, and then the family, Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda, and Krishna, they lived there for about 3 years and 4 months. And then they moved on to another place, and then from there went to another place. It's about the name is Dig, D-I-G. Can you dig it? And then from there they went to Kamyavana, Vana. It's another four, Vana. And then from there they went to the last place, was Nandagram. I believe that was the last place. So they shifted. And 1 year I went to Haridwar, you know, at the foothills of the Himalayas. And I went with a devotee, and of course ISKCON's not so established there. Maybe it is now, but then it wasn't. And you know, the devotee with me was kind of in the tourist mode. Oh, why don't we go whitewater rafting on the Ganges? And I thought, well, you know, it's not, you know, I've been trained to think like that. But we did. I did surrender to going on like a safari through some of the wilderness areas there. and where wild herds of wild elephants roam. We didn't see any elephants, we just saw their dung. But that was good enough. And but we came upon some, you know, cowherd people, like villagers, you know, like the way it's traditionally, you know, let's say, the way they have lived. And it's kind of like in grass huts, and they have cow herd, you know, herds of cows around them, and they lived dressed and very simple. And oh my God, I thought the reason I've come here is to be reminded of Nanda and Yashoda and the cowherd men and Krishna, and that, you know, it was like the real thing. And we were informed by a guy that, yeah, the elephants do come sometimes and destroy the villages. So they're kind of, it's a nomadic kind of, you know, lifestyle, as we understand it, nomadic. And so when we hear about, you know, the milk being boiled over at the stove, they think, well, what kind of a stove would that be? No, it would be like one of our, it wouldn't be a high-tech modern. It would be a real simple kind of thing, something you would maybe sort of, that with all the other paraphernalia, pick up and then move on to, you know, to, if you need to, just go to greener pastures. But in any event, these great souls, and I say they're great because Krishna chose to be with these simple folks. Just like Jesus, we understand that he was born in a manger and with cows. So Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, an avatar, and well, let's say he's the original avatar, decided to come to mingle with the simple folks. No? He wasn't a king. He wasn't Ram, who came as a king, was born in royalty. He came as a cowherd boy. Let's say he was shifted there. We're born Kshatriya, shifted to a Vaishya community, and just to get close to the people, to the simple folks. No? So Krishna, somehow or other, tries to reach out to everybody. He tried to reach out to Arjuna, who's a Kshatriya, and he spoke to him. He didn't speak to a Brahmin. Right? Well, he did come as Ram to be in a Kshatriya abode. He, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was born a Brahmin. And Shudra, can you help me with that one? Well, Haridas Thakur, I mean, he reached out to Haridas Thakur in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then the main thing is that Krishna goes to reach out to people. That's what he does. Through his pastimes, through his name, and, you know, he just grabs people's attention. Nowadays, like when many of us joined, well, I am looking at salt and pepper haired people here. You know, yeah, well, I mean, you're getting there. hardly anybody knew Krishna. Hardly anybody heard of him. Thanks to George. Good George H., you know, George Harrison and others. But now when you travel around, most people have heard about Krishna or Vishnu, and, you know, and it's kind of, oh yeah, and he's got the butter thing going on, and, you know, it's really quite like that, you know, that people are, let's say, a little more informed, and, you know, there's comparative religious studies at school. And I'm not sure what it's like here in the Deep South. Is this the Deep South?
Yeah.
Okay. But, you know, with the infiltration of our wonderful Hindu community, you know, people get to know about Krishna. You know, these wonderful folks from the land of Bharat, they're doing a fabulous job. And they have no qualms about talking about Krishna. And they say everything with a smile. You know, they have no qualms about showing a deity. Many of us, Jewish background, Christian background, maybe Muslim, just deity, you know, idols? Wow. But anybody that comes from India, like a devoted Vaishnava person, they just speak very proudly about Krishna. And here's our deity, and here's our altar, and we worship them. You know, and they have no problem. No problem at all. Actually, I get pretty fired up by being in their company. There's no shame. And like, we also have some things to be a little bit embarrassed about. You know, we all know the history in Bhaktivedanta College. Radhadesh. They have a whole course on the history of ISKCON. One of our boys from Canada went there, and his jaw opened so wide, "My God, I didn't know these things." You know, all the good and the bad and the ugly about our society. I mean, mind you, it's all much more good than it is negative. And any religious society that starts up always has its incredible challenges. But this boy, he was almost ready to, kind of leave. It was so shocking to him. But you actually have to look at the end result. Look at all the nice people that are around when you travel out to the different centers, and look at what Prabhupada really did, you know, being at the total cutting edge of everything, pretty much, you know, vegetarianism and promoting the tattva of reincarnation and the chanting, you know. Come on, who gets credit for that? Not Krishna Das, you know, the one I'm talking about. It's Prabhupada, come on, you know. And so many other things. Deity worship, you know, who's doing that in a glorious way, you know? And the list really goes on. So again, we're reaching out. So the coward men are reaching out to Krishna for help. They didn't call on any other demigod for help. Actually, it was a demigod that, or one of his orderlies that came and acted pretty much like a demon and took away this great devotee of the Lord and brought him to the court of Varuna. So why take shelter of a demigod? You know, this the story of, you know, shifting from demigods to the personality of Godhead in the form of a hill or many other shapes and forms, this has not yet taken place. But so the coward men called for Krishna. They were actually in the right. They called for the person who can give the full shelter. And so Krishna came, and he was there on the spot. You know? And he came and made a dive in there. There's a few other pastimes where Krishna entered into the waters, the murky waters, and Skaliya the snake was there, and everyone panicked then too. So we have a few instances like that. Now Nanda Maharaj was next to go in there. And so Krishna came to the rescue. The story is quite brief. And Varuna had the great fortune to see the supreme personalities of Godhead, Krishna Balaram, who were there to give their darshan. And so Nanda was rescued in this particular instance. And one of the major lessons that we learn from this story is that devotees should learn to be fearless. Fearless, especially in the face of Maya. You know? And when it comes to death, that's another thing. We shouldn't be afraid of, you know, when death is approaching. There's dignity in that. And some of us are going that channel. I mean, actually, all of us will be. You know, mortality rate is 100%. We'll be going there. Some of us are going to get there a little sooner than others, but that only means you're closer to having a new body, you know, fresh, you know, chipper one, you know, vivacious new body. You know, the closer you get to death, the closer you. So you wonder why are people so concerned about, you know, preserving this body and prolonging this life, and then. Let's say you've got situations where there's spaghetti coming out in the hospital, you know, tubes all over the place. I mean, I went to see a couple of people. That's part of pastoral responsibility, right? If you're a sannyasi or just a devotee, or like if you're a Brahmin especially, it's our duty or obligation to visit people who, when they're in need and when they're about to go. And it just so happened I met one of our devotees there. And like in the same room was a Sikh gentleman, an older man, and he kept going like this, you know, like that. You know what that means? Cut the tubes, I want to go. and you know, he couldn't talk, couldn't say anything to me. I guess he's been trying to say that to the nurses or the doctors. But I guess he wanted me to convey this message to them, you know, I want to go, you know, I need to go now. I don't like being in this condition, and I want to go, and I'll be back again. I'll be here again. Okay. So that's the beauty of accepting transmigration of the Atma, the soul. I'm going to come back here into this world again. I'll be back. Was it in the Terminator? I'll be back. So, by the way, I never saw that. So just letting you know, I do see the odd film here and there, The Life of Pi or whatever, you know, but but devotees have told me. I'm not lying about that. I'll be back. There's one time we did a play, it's called The Age of Kali, and I thought it was very appropriate for Kali, you know, he sort of goes like the Wicked Witch of the Dead. Yeah, that's another one I've seen. She melts, you know, and so Kali, when he hears the holy name in the background of the play, and all of his confidants, all of his assistants have left him, lust, personified, greed, anger, etc., etc., they all leave him, and his empire is left empty, and he kind of shrivels up because of the sound. Starts blaring, the holy name starts blaring, and you know, I just kind of, it's by Vrindavan Chandra. I think he and a few devotees from New York put this excellent script together. It's really one of the best scripts ever done by ISKCON, classic piece. And at the end I thought, you know, we need Kali to say at the end, I'll be back. Because he will be back. He will be back. It's like everything's cyclic. He'll be back. Right now we're experiencing winter. At least you are. For me, it's spring. You know, but, you know. So I thought, hey, this is even Mahamantri here is, you know, from Canada. And he said, hey, this is like spring. It's fresh. And, so, you know, everything goes cyclic. And Kali Yuga will come again. It'll go around in circles. I was just in Argentina at the Buenos Aires Rath Yatra. I go there every year. And one devotee was quoting from Virabhava Prabhu, who said, people are saying this is the age of Aquarius. Actually, it's the age of Kali. And it keeps coming around, just like Aquarius may come around. And that's symptomatic of some dark sides, of negative things. In the pastime of Ram, or say Nanda Maharaj here, and his coward men who are screaming for Ram, Krishna's son, they're feeling maybe there's some element of darkness here. We're feeling fear. But now we're understanding the devotee should not be full of fear. In the moment of the Leela, surely you must feel some fear. I mean, it gets you a little bit excited about Krishna. Well, this last summer, I was walking through real remote areas through Canada and the southern, close to the American border. And, you know, I start in the morning when it's kind of dark, you know, just to beat the heat. But we do have heat in Canada, just to let you know. And, you know, there's things to worry about. When the sun starts just coming up, you've got coyotes on one side of the road, like the Mangal Arati, you know. And they've got their range of voice is really good. It puts us to shame sometimes when you hear that the people are off key sometimes when we do kirtans. But the coyotes got it down really good. So they're on one side of the road, and then they're like almost making a message, sending them to the guys on the other side of the road. So I'm getting stereo as I'm walking by, and I, you know, those goosebumps start coming up just a little bit, you know, and it is kind of remote, and, you know, they do talk about cougars. They have cougars in the cougar sightings in Saskatchewan, and so I chant loud just to make sure that I'm here in the area, so just, you know, clear out, get out of the way. That's what you have to do while you're walking down the road. So we all, and, you know, I just chant better rounds. I just chant better rounds in those conditions. You know, I have to admit, you know, the Krishnas come out a lot more clear, and the Ramas, and, you know, because that's like an self-imposed, you know, scary scenario, you know. So you might think about those, doing those kind of things. So this is Gatorland, and you might think about, you know, doing those. But what we should be, Prabhupada always encouraged us to have a healthy fear. Fear is natural. I mean, eating, sleeping, mating, and fearing. Everybody does those things, pretty much. You know? And defense of fearing, it's natural. But the thing that we don't fear enough is, well, something much worse than wildlife. You know? Well, people ask me, when you're walking, do you see any wildlife? And I said, yeah, human beings. You know? And the things that human beings do. You know, Maya, this thing Prabhupada was critical of us, he said that the problem with you is that you don't fear Maya. Like we've been so, you know, doing a tango with Maya forever, so many lifetimes, and we're just kind of comfortable with it. And so, when even though, like, if you're in a devotional environment, sort of Maya coming, you're just shopping somewhere, and everything's pretty risque, really, you know, and advertising the sexploitation programs that are out there, and it's just, you kind of get comfortable, you know, desensitized, you know, and this is kind of unfortunate. Should I be close? Okay. So this is what we have to consider. We have to redefine what is danger. So padam padam yadvipadam natisham. Every step that you take is a place of danger. Every step. That doesn't mean you shouldn't walk. Walking is good. But, you know, it's more dangerous not to walk. No? More people die in auto accidents than people who are walking. There has never been a case where two people have died of head-on collisions from walking. And that's why we're out there, you know, trying to promote pilgrimage, you know, it says we got to get out of the car, we got to, you know, get out and meet people and see the sacredness behind everything, see God in everything, and they go, yeah, you're right, you know. And then you have to start fearing those things that are to be feared. You have to become like angels. You know, and angels fear things, you know, they don't go where the devils are. So people can kind of relate to that kind of jargon to some degree. They have to become like an angel. So that's it. As far as we are to understand, these very, very special souls who are sharing pastimes with Krishna had been formerly dealing with their karma, and now they have risen up to Krita Puna Punya. Prabhupada quotes that verse, Krita Puna Punya. They had risen up to the point where now they're in a very, very privileged place, engaged in the pastimes of the Lord. And of course, some of them have just, they're just Nitya Siddha. They've always been there. It's a mix. It's a beautiful mix of great souls together. In any case, they recognize who to go to when help is needed. And they take shelter of him, and sure enough, Krishna's always there to the rescue. He is the hero. And everybody needs a hero in their life, you know? Like there's Superman, there's Batman, there's Spider-Man, and there's Hanuman, you know? So everyone's got their heroes, and Krishna's the ultimate hero in this particular pastime. So we take shelter of him, and unlike many other shlokas or verses in the Bhagavatam, it's spelled out very clearly what you do when you're in trouble. And you say the name of Krishna. And when are we in trouble? All of the time. Always. Forever. Pretty much. If you're not thinking of him, right? So then you're in trouble. So Maharaj Katwanga, you know, citing the example from the Bhagavatam, you know, he knew he was informed, he was going to die next second, next moment. So he just got right into surrendering to Krishna. You know, he valued every moment. So every moment is important in a devotee's life. Every minute, every, you know, ounce of our space and time. And we just take full advantage of that. Of chanting, if it's not that, it's serving, it's some kind of meditation, and just try to, you know, develop that healthy fear for those things that are going to bring our consciousness down to lower levels of existence. So be on guard. A devotee is like a natural kshatriya also, always being on guard against the manifestation of Maya. Maya is a very full-blown, big-time, mega personality that is lurking around in this Kali Yuga, in this day and age. So it's nice that we have communities that are really, really like this community, where you have a lot of solid association. You have to really value that and cherish it like anything. So also this last summer on the walk, I walked through very conservative areas, and it was mostly Mennonite communities and Hutterite communities. I don't know if you're familiar with the Hutterites. They're like Mennonites. They're kind of like a Protestant order, origins from Germany in that local area. And they're extremely good farmers. And they all live in one big, so like when I went to this one village, it was like, hey, devotees need to do this. They built this endlessly long house, and everybody lives in it. It's like a communal situation. So they are quite protective, and myself and my support guy, we were invited to their school, believe it or not, through the teachers who are coming from the more secular background. They have local teachers and teachers from outside their community. So myself and Daruka, my support person, we've been going to elementary schools. You know, that's amazing. Like, that wouldn't have happened 30 years ago. But they love seeing a monk, and my friend has this, my support guy's got this blue front Amazon parrot that talks. And so the kids are just enthralled. So we've been going, you know, through all these little towns. Each town, we just hit all the schools, and my support guy will go in and talk to the principal. Say, oh yeah, we knew you were coming. It's kind of got to that point. So anyways, we went to one Hutterite community, and they're really, like say, set far off of the main highway, and very, very recluse. And so we drove there. I actually cheated, didn't I? Drove there, got off the highway. And so we went there, and then one of the elders, the students and the teachers were waiting, and then one of the elders came over and said, oh, what's going on here? I said, well, I'm a monk, and I'm walking across Canada, and so what are you doing here? I'm here to just, I was invited to, and teachers were going, we're just here to talk about the walk and the parrot. And he said, so what are you going to talk to them about? I said, well, we're just going to talk about the walk. And so you're not doing any, and he was struggling for the words. You mean proselytization? He said, yes, you're not doing any proselytization. Oh, no. We're just talking about how it's good to walk, and it's good to meet people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, all these people are kind of like staring at him, and, you know, you got to let this guy in. So then we got in, and then it was so wonderful, because after we started talking to the people, we talked about some of our walking experiences. Usually that's, you talk about some of your walking leelas, then you give the philosophy, and then you give them the mantra. It just goes in that order. It works perfect, you know. And so it just so happened that the teachers there were asking all the questions. So now, what kind of a monk are you? This is a Hare Krishna monk. So what do you do as a monk? I said, well, we do bhakti yoga. What kind of yoga? Says, well, we do a lot of chanting. Well, what's the chant? And it goes on. So anyways, I kind of fibbed with the elder earlier on. But it's really a wonderful experience to get into these schools. And I hope I'm not off topic so much. I'll finish soon. But what happens on a regular basis is that my support guy goes ahead while I'm walking. And he meets with the principal. I said, yeah, I think that'd be very nice. The kids need to hear about getting away from their gadgets and out of their dark basements and rooms and start walking more. I think that's very good. So then what's arranged is we go into the school, and the principal arranges for all the students of the school to come into the gymnasium and all the teachers. So there we get a chance to sometimes chant, they lay down the rules, it's up. You know, I always say, I'm a Hare Krishna monk, and then we talk about, you know, what the life of a monk is all about. And then they ask questions about me, and they ask a lot of questions about the parrot. And so it's the parrot, this gal, I'll call her, her name is Billie Jean, and she is doing incredible Sankirtan service. Getting us in our foot in the door of places where, well, just a few years ago, not so long ago, we were charged with being like a sinister cult. Now we're getting into the Mennonite schools. Hallelujah. It's unbelievable. So it's a great seva. We're totally him. So this is what my service has been to Prabhupada for a few years now. And you know, whatever is the service, Krishna's name has to be out there. We'll always be in trouble. Even in the midst of your service, even right in, standing right in front of their lordships, Maya can come in. Hello. Isn't it? How you doing? And then Krishna, you know, shake it off. You know? And that's our business. Our job is to shake a few trees, just like, you know, Balaram went and shook some of the trees when Dinakasur in the forest, the Talavan forest. You know, our job is to shake trees. My last thing I want to say, this one guy from the television crew, he came, did the story about the walk, and he said, so I guess you're here, you're doing this to shake a few trees, aren't you? I said, what do you mean? Shake up people's lives a little bit, because, you know, people are complacent. Oh, yeah, of course. And we're here to shake some trees, yes. So that's really what we're all about, is, you know, trying to do some outreach. And people are always calling for Krishna to help. And we're also trying to call for his conditioned souls to please come. Come now. Krishna's there for you. Please come. We're always trying to reach out. We are yogis. We stretch. We do our stretches. And that's our main business, you know. We don't want to get comfortable just being like a closed community. We're an open community. We want people to come and learn about this great personality who is our ultimate hero, Lord Shri Krishna. So thank you very much, Hare Krishna. And I just wanted to say, I like that word, let's see, Rameti, that was in here. Well, what do you think about that? Here we are. And how is it translated? A little different. This is translated as Rama, thus Rama. Rama iti. I think it's good enough. We love walking in your sand, by the way. Are there any questions or comments? Shesha, it's so good to see you. Your lotus feet. Shesha and I, we walked through Venice one evening. Do you remember that? What was the feeling like? Oh, actually, I didn't think it was like visiting a pilgrimage place, you know. I didn't get that feeling. You know, I found it difficult. It wasn't like going to Vrindavan or something like that. Okay, Prabhu, in the background. Param, did I, your name again is? Param. Prana Govindas. Okay, thank you. I didn't start with a P and R.
My devotee from Canada went to study about Krishna history.
Oh, yes.
In Radha Des.
Really? Right.
And
were you the teacher?
Yeah.
Because you screwed up one of our guys.
So
I'm sorry, go ahead.
What I heard that you were expressing that he was at a point also, he was like going away from Ishkan or something.
Well, he was just a little bewildered.
Okay.
You know, his parents are solidly in there. And, you know,
well, I went through also some experience in my life like this, but recently I was collecting many Prabhupada's opinion, comment, and one time Srila Prabhupada was asked from the memory table of Australian devotees, Chitta Hari, your godbrother, and the devotees talking. And one of the comments they asked Prabhupada, what do you think about Ishkan, that lot of bad bad things sometimes appear, like abuse and falling down. Prabhupada gave a very attractive answer. He says, when a beautiful woman walks by, it gets the attention of man, and man looks at her because she's beautiful. But if you pay very close attention, you may see that she passes stools and sometimes. But does it mean her beauty is gone? So many things may pass through Ishkan, but the beauty of Krishna and the society's internal essence will always attract that soul, because that's what we need.
I like that. I really appreciate it. And I can relate to that. The first time I went on the youth bus tour with Manaram, he was saying that, and that's when we had one bus with the boys and the girls. And you know how, you know, it was like with boys and girls, you know, they kind of like each other. But when they wake up in the morning and they see this person they like, and the smells that go along with it, and looking groggy and everything like that, the reality starts to kick in. But in the end, everyone's beautiful. Yes, I like that. So join the bus tour. Okay, yeah. Oh, I was supposed to repeat the questions. Oh, you got the mic. Okay.
Hello. Thank you, Maharaj. First of all, I'd like to thank you for all the wonderful service that you're doing to the youth of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, Maharaj. You know, we need more support like you for the youth. And you know, about fear, you know, today is Gaurakishorita Babaji's appearance day. It's the same day that, you know, my first late wife, Matasachi, left her body in Mayapur Dam. So I always remember, you know, those pastimes as a teaching lesson. So like 2 weeks before she passed away, she was preparing herself, going almost into Mauna, just chanting by herself and preparing herself to leave. Then one day I came to her room and I told her, how you doing? And she told me, I have fear. So then I immediately, you know, I went to the Bhagavad Gita and I looked for the word fear. I had never done that in my life. I don't know why at that time. I just thought, what can I do? So I just looked the word fear and I opened where it says that page that was there. And actually, Srila Prabhupada says that fear, if we have fear, it's because we still are conditioned into the bodily concept of life. You know, so when I told her that, you know, I mean, her body was almost in bones. You know, and then, you know, it was like magical, because as soon as I told her the words of Srila Prabhupada and the Bhagavad Gita, she immediately gave up her fear, and a week after that, she left, you know. So sometimes, you know, Srila Prabhupada is always repeating to us, we're not this body. And sometimes we think, oh, I already know that philosophy. I want to hear something else. But actually, even though we're probably chanting for so many years, realizing so many things, at the really time that we have to leave this,
critical,
we still
time.
Identify with the body. So, you know, I feel that, you know, for me, it's a lesson, and it's a good moment to remind myself that, you know, we have to live up this bodily identification. That way we become fearless.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us on the topic of fear. Really appreciate it. Shall we? And yes, my favorite comedian artist. Tell us a joke first.
No, I'm going to tell you, because you mentioned about Vrindavan Chandra, and I just wanted to say that, just picking up on that, when I went to the road show in 71 in the winter, and I didn't know anything about what they were doing, I just wanted to get away from New Vrindavan in the snow and just go to Florida. So the first night, I didn't even know about the Kali play, but Vrindavan Chandra and this lady, Norma, and it was Bob. They had their own bus, and she was an expert. She was called Sin, you know, personified. And they just said, okay, you know, some club, and they came out, and I didn't even know they were going to do this play, and I was a devotee. I was shocked. They were so good. You were talking about Vrindavan Chandra. It was so shockingly good and effective. I didn't even know that one of the hippies there was stoned and had to be taken to the hospital. He almost had a heart attack and was on acid and nearly died. Because it was so good. And she came out, and I am his consort Sin. And he was just, I mean, no video of it, unfortunately. But yeah, it was, I just want to tell you, when he did it, he might have written it, when he did it, that people were just shocked. It was so amazing.
Wow.
I've never seen a version like that.
Right. I'm not sure who the author is, but
anyway,
whoever he is,
Vrindavan Chandra, he was super unbelievable.
And he's on the West Coast. No? Is
yeah,
that
he's still around.
Gee, I don't think I've ever
met him. It
was
so amazing, and I didn't know they were going to do it. And I said, "Wow, this is a play!"
Yeah, Srila Prabhupada was very, very supportive of the performing arts. You know,
and that play comes from Kavi Kanpur. It's in the Chandradoy Natak.
Thank you very much for sharing that. And let's give an applause to Vrindavan Chandra and okay, and we must hear from this side, just to be fair. Oh, we just heard it.
Yes. And everything.
Yeah.
Gave a standing ovation for that performance.
Right. And as I understand it, it was performed in the temple in Mayapur. In the temple in Mayapur.
No, it was inside the temple.
Yeah, I'm sure they did it perform a few times.
And I think some of the sannyasis were a little bit agitated. But should I look at, you know, because they were dressed up, you know.
But Prabhupada loved it.
But Prabhupada loved it.
and well, there was a sannyasi in a tuxedo with a top hat. Hey, guess we can come like that to Mangalarti now. Yeah. No, I... Hari Sori told me that Prabhupada really loved the work of Sudam and the other devotees. And he really gave it all. You know, he was very, very... backing the arts, and I think we need to go back there again, you know, just because it's very effective, you know, a way to bring people in. You know, people are into entertainment, and if you can enlighten them at the same time, you have enterlightenment. And then once they're entered in, it's like a viewer, you know, you close it in with love and prasadam and the books and everything else. We're not doing that enough. So that's a plug-in for the artists. We need to back them up. We need patrons. We need, you know, it's really, really makes a big difference in people's lives. I mean, I met people who said, I became a vegetarian after I saw that Butcher's Nightmare and there's a few other classics, you know. So... Yeah, it's, you know, that's right. Well, two types of school. A lot of the secular schools have Mennonites coming to them. You know, and some of the schools are run by Mennonites. Yeah, but it's really terrific. I mean, I never dreamed we'd get in to see the little kids where people are absolutely so protective. And now we can just say Hare Krishna. And you know, that's great. There's this one school in a small town called Rainy River, population 1,000. It's right at the border of Canada, Ontario, and Minnesota. Went to the high school, went to the little school. We got everybody to sing and dance. We had a great time. So, okay, one more. Microphone. By the way, do we clap for the last person? Akuti, we didn't clap for Akuti. Great set designer and prop maker of all times.
One thing I was thinking that when we sometimes we go to colleges here, and people, when we ask them if they know about Hare Krishnas, and actually most of them say, no, they haven't heard Hare Krishnas.
Right.
So I was thinking, is, in one sense, it might be seen as a negative thing, but I think it's a positive thing, because they don't have, they don't know the negative aspect about our history in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking it's actually a nice time to preach about Hare Krishnas,
right,
because
exactly.
They don't have that.
To get the message out there. It's
yeah.
good, it's fresh, yeah. Good. New generation of people to talk to. Them. I think that's a very valid point. Let's hear it for him. Okay, I see your mouth. Do you want to say something? Okay, one more. It's up to you, Vern. I mean, you're the big chief or second in line, whatever. One more comment. Do you want to say it in the mic?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Mataji expressed that, and Panguvind expressed that the devotees sometimes encounter something negative in ISKCON.
Mm.
I wanted to present the analogy Prabhupada's given in terms of not disposing the baby with the dirty bathwater. So undoubtedly, you're going to see something wrong in ISKCON, whatever it may be. But just as the analogy illustrates, Srila Prabhupada gives, that the baby is very beautiful, the baby is adorable, but the baby will mess himself up, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
you clean the baby off and he's beautiful. But you do not expose the baby with the dirty bathwater. So similarly, if you see or you discern something not adequate or not to your liking in ISKCON or anywhere else, you do not, just like the boy you said that he said he left?
No, he didn't. He just was very much in awe and his job was open. It's just very surprised.
Yeah, like, you know, you may come across that this crazy book, this monkey and the stick thing. You see all these abominable, heinous things. Well, again, you do not dispose of the baby with the bathwater. So all the good of ISKCON and all the Krishna consciousness, and again, Prabhupada's example, the beautiful woman, some flaw or the moon.
Yeah, you especially don't want to throw a baby Krishna with the bathwater.
So do not dispose of the baby with the bathwater.
Yeah, I like that. That's good. That is super wonderful. Okay, and I guess that's Mr. MC. Do you want to? What